quarantine was one of the greatest things that ever happened. Because for me, I was angry at myself, where our program had gotten to, what I heard from you guys along the way. And then it took me time to say, you know what? Man, that's part of life's journey. Instead of anger, I felt great pride in this team. Because you know what we never did? As tough as those experiences were, and as great as some of those experiences were, loyalty, trust, love, care, that never left us. From year one to year five, that's never left this program. And then I watched how this team responded. Our program, we said a lot of things. We wanted to become a lot of things.
We want to take the next step. Everybody's got to go hard every single play.
And whether we didn't know how, we didn't know how to get there, we didn't know what to maybe do, but it's like life, right? You got to go through the experiences. You got to be humble enough to grow from the experiences. And what you gave this program is you've defined who we are. Not speak what we want to be, but demand who we need to be day in and day out. So really for me, I'll be really honest with you. Pride, man, I don't know if I can be prouder of any group of men or young men that I've ever been around than you. Why are my words to you? Let the light that shines brightly inside of you be brighter than any light that shines on you tomorrow. Because the light that shines in this room and who you are has changed the course of history. Tomorrow is just another opportunity to let the light inside of you shine bright.
That was the voice of Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell addressing his team before the 2021 Fiesta Bowl. And what's unique about what Coach Campbell is talking about here is that he's not focusing on the outcome of the game. He's not focusing on the many victories from the season, but he's drawing his team back into a narrative that is rooted in an identity. It's rooted in who they have become as members of the Iowa State football team. This week and the next couple of weeks on the podcast, JP and I are going to dive into what it means to develop a program identity, why that's important, and how we go about doing that. And we're going to be joined by a variety of guests over the next couple of weeks, including Boomer Roberts, Mike Avery, TJ Rosine, and Will Ray, who will share some of their experiences with us as we discuss the importance of developing a program identity.
You're listening to the Coaching Culture Podcast. I'm JP Nurbin, joined by my co-host, Nate Sanderson. As always, we are excited to be discussing culture and sharing ideas and strategies on how to build that culture. But as Nate just mentioned, we have a very different three episodes ahead of us as we've reached out to some of our most trusted friends in coaching to tackle this topic of team identity. Now, if you're not subscribed to this podcast, be sure to take 5 seconds just to subscribe so you do not miss an episode. Also, if you would like to get the notes to this episode and every week's episode, you are going to want to go on over to thriveonchallenge.com and subscribe to our weekly newsletter, or you can use the link in the details of this episode. Now, let's get into today's discussion on team identity. Nate, I think it's really important that we first talk about what it is, you know, and what the difference is between team culture and team identity, because there's a difference between your team's culture and your team's identity. Culture is what you do. It's how you do things. Identity is who you are. It's how you see yourself. Culture is something that we probably talk more about on this podcast. It's oftentimes what our focus goes to as a coach. How can we drive the behaviors? How can we raise the standards? Identity is probably a little bit more of a mystery on how we intentionally shape that. It's probably something we talk, you know, less about. But the reality is, we know this, is that identity is more lasting, it's more effective, and it's a more kind of like a deeper intrinsic motivator or driver of the culture. Like it, at the end of the day, your identity is what really shapes and drives the culture. Now, Nate, if I was honest, I'm really excited about this conversation because this is something that I'm still learning a lot on. And while I have some experience in helping coaches to create that identity, I feel like you're a little bit further down the road than me when it comes to your years of experience really trying to understand team identity.
Well, JP, I think in my experience, the question that I've really spent a lot of time deliberating on is really foundational to how we've built our cultures over the years. And that is, who do we want to be? You know, just a couple weeks ago, I accepted the head girls basketball job at Mount Vernon High School here in Iowa, and I've got a rebuild on my hands here. There's a lot of work to be done in a lot of places. And so, you know, when you start over, you're thinking about your systems and strategies, and you're thinking about your culture, and you're thinking about captains, and you're thinking about standards. But ultimately, the thing that ties all of that stuff together is a vision for who we want to be. I remember when I did my master's program at Gonzaga in organizational leadership, one of the first essays that we read was about the hologram. And if you're familiar with a hologram, you know, you look at this piece of paper and there's like a three-dimensional image on the inside of it. And what was interesting about that, talking about organizational cultures, is that if you break a hologram in half, you might think that the image that's contained in that thing would split in two as well. If you broke in half, you'd see the left half and you'd see the right half in those two pieces. But in reality, the image is contained in every piece of that hologram. So if it's broken in two, you have two images that are the same. They're just a little bit smaller than the original. If you break it into four or eight or 16 or 1,000 pieces, it will always contain the original image. It might be a little less quality and it might be a little bit smaller compared to the original, but the image is always the same. And I think that's such a great metaphor for what we're trying to build into our program. It's the idea that maybe we have core values of love or effort or gratitude or whatever those things might be. But the real trick is, how do we make sure that that's instilled in every piece of what we do, whether it's in the weight room or in the film room or it's in practice or open gym or the locker room? We want our DNA to be consistent, our character to be consistent, and that all comes back to having an understanding of, a clear picture of, who do we want to be in this program?
So I think the next question, Nate, is why is team identity so important? And I think the first thing I would say here is, if your team identity is just aspirational, if it is just, you know, you sitting down with your team and coming up with some core values or some pillars of your program, then I think it's actually pretty pointless because it just becomes culture speak. And culture speak is nothing more than just words on a t-shirt, words that you put on the walls, or the poster of the whale jumping out of the water that says believe. You know, it's just talk. Even Matt Campbell, in that kind of intro you shared, you know, he talks about, hey, this is more than just talk. This is how we live. This is who we are. So if it's just aspirational, though, it's pointless. Now, defining your core values, coming up with your pillars of your program, or just even sitting down and identifying what's really important to you all as a team, that becomes really important and really effective when we use it in a way that is instructional, not just aspirational. Yes, we need to start from a place of aspirational, but though that identity that we aspire to create of who we wish to become, that has to guide the behaviors. It's instructional and it guides the behaviors and standards of your program. As well as when you start to take on that identity, when you actualize that aspirational identity, when it moves from beyond something you aspire to something you actually become and the way that you see yourself, that's very important that you see yourself in that way, then it becomes incredibly motivational. Because when you don't act in accordance, or you don't behave in a way that's in accordance with how you see yourself and who you are, then you become very, very uncomfortable. And that is when this team identity becomes the real culture driver that you are hoping for it to be. When you sit down and you define those aspirational values and that identity.
And JP, not to split hairs here in terms of the words that we're using, because I don't want this to be a 30-minute conversation about semantics, but just think about when you say the phrase, something is important to me versus it's just who I am. You know, if I say that eating right is important to me, I know the value of it, but I'm a healthy eater. Like, it's just who I am. Like, there's a depth to that has more power to it than just simply stating something that we value. Cody Royal wrote a book called The Tough Stuff about being a head coach. And one of the powerful lines in his book, he said, if you know who you are, you know what to do. And oftentimes when we're able to operate from a place of identity where we know who we want to be, all of a sudden determining our standards and our behaviors and our policies on attendance and how we interact with each other, it's all informed from that very base of knowing who we want to be, which is why that identity is so critical, particularly when you're building a program. And JP, there's another advantage, I think, to understanding who you want to be, and that translates directly to performance. And we're not going to get into a lot of the brain science and the psychology in this series, at least in the next couple of episodes. But I think back to an episode in Last Chance U, the basketball series on Netflix, where the team is supposed to be just hammering this school that they beat like 15 times in a row. And they come into the locker room, it's like a 1-point game. And the players are just beside themselves and they're punching lockers and they're biting at each other. And they're like, how can we be this close to this team that's terrible? Like, everything is focused on the outcome. Everything is focused on the scoreboard. And that creates all this stress and this anxiety and this strife and this conflict. And if I were in the locker room and it was my team, the thing that I would bring us back to is, are we who we want to be? Like, were we playing hard? Were we supporting each other? Were we walking in that identity? If we do that more in the second half, good things are going to happen to us. That's how we've gotten to be as good as we are, right? Like, we just bring them back to who we want to be, rather than focusing on, oh, if you guys lose this game, we're going to be on the line. It's going to be so embarrassing. You're going to throw your ranking away. Like, you can motivate people in that way, but I think there's a greater power when you just come back to, who do we want to be and how can we do more of that in the second half of a game?
Well, and this is where I would kind of argue that identity, if you have a strong cultural identity of who you want to be in those moments, like with that basketball team in the locker room, that's a motivational superpower, because it's not only keeps your head clear on reflection on, you know, the last half of basketball, but it's who are we in that very moment. And for people to respond or react in that way of yelling, throwing chairs, smashing, whatever that they were doing, that wouldn't be consistent with their identity. And so, first off, there'd be less chance of that happening, right? And so we talk about like raising the standards of a program. It's like, oh my gosh, there's so many things that are happening that are just, how do I address all these behaviors? Well, if you always are just trying to address the behavior stuff, you're just going to be constantly putting out fires. But if you have an identity that's not how we do things here, then there's less chance of that type of behavior coming up. But when it does come up, as many of our coaches will mention over the next couple of weeks, the coach doesn't even have to step in because other people know that's not who we are here, you know? And so it's not just even in the first half of that game, it's in that very moment, that great challenge when we know who we are. I think that pays big dividends and it almost becomes this motivational superpower that's far greater than having some big, hairy, audacious goal that you're kind of striving for all season.
Our friend Spencer Wood, who's the sports psychologist for the Detroit Tigers, would add to that, JP, and say that what's powerful about that identity versus the outcome is that you have control over your effort or your love or your gratitude or your appreciation or your selflessness. Like, the identity piece can always be attained in those difficult moments or in, you know, that difficult second half, whatever it might be. The scoreboard, we control a lot of things, but not everything that's going to affect that, right? And so that's another reason why that there's just so much power in coming back to and understanding who we are striving to be.
So the real trick, though, Nate, is how you create that team identity. Now, I think, as we mentioned earlier, it starts with that aspiration. You know, it's going to start very aspirational. But even how you determine that kind of aspirational identity, you can come upon that in kind of two very different ways. One is very coach-led, you know, where you come up with it, you sit down, you decide who you want to be as a program, and you communicate that to the players. Or it could be more player-led, where the players are part of that process. And I think many of the guests that we have on in our discussion over the next few episodes, they kind of, over time, have probably shifted more towards the player-led approach. But they're still blending the both. Now, in one of our previous episodes, another leader, not a coach, but one of the leaders that I respect the most out there was Captain Mike Abershoff. And he came on the podcast in episodes 157 and 158 to talk about how he took the USS Benfold, one of the worst ships in the U.S. Navy, and he turned it into one of the best ships in the U.S. Navy within a year. And it's an incredible story. You know, he came in from day one with this aspirational identity to be the best damn ship in the Navy. I mean, that was the thing that he was communicating to everyone. We're going to be the best damn ship in the Navy. But then he started to really bring his sailors on board and allow them and empower them to be a part of shaping what that identity really looks like. What does the best damn ship in the Navy actually look like? And he's asking the cook, and he's sitting down with the cook, and he's asking, well, you know, what would that look like? And when it came to our food, and they, you know, really significantly improved their food and had a great reputation there. And they improved their onboarding program. They improved the way that they painted the ship. They improved their training program for sailors. I mean, they just looked at everything, and he started to get people involved and to help shape that identity and what it actually looked like. And it's an incredible process and story, because I know he actually sat down with every sailor, all 350 plus sailors, in the first 6 weeks and talked with each of them for 30 minutes. And that's an incredible way and an example of someone with a strong aspirational identity, you know, not just trying to be very coach-led, but incorporate the players, you know, thoughts and feelings and ideas.
Well, JP, that's such a good example of kind of the dance, right, between the coach-led identity and yet the players, or in this case, the sailors, having input into what that actually is going to look like. And I think that's one of the things that we want coaches to understand, is there's a lot of ways to get there. I remember when I was at Springville, we ended up with a really strong identity by the time we were finished there, our last 3 or 4 years, and that our catchphrase was, we play hard, we love each other, we do what we do. But it wasn't until my 5th year coaching there that we really landed on that as kind of the defining phrase of who we wanted to be. And I remember when it happened, that was a season where we were really trying to just focus on creating a great experience for each other. And so my pregame talks always followed kind of the same pattern, where I'd talk about the three keys to the game up on the board, and then I'd put the marker down and I'd turn around and I'd say, look, all these things are important for trying to win this game, but here's what really matters. We want to go out, we want to take the floor, we want to support each other, we want to appreciate each other, we want to be there for each other. Like, I kept coming up with all these different adjectives to describe how we wanted to interact with each other. And finally, in early January of 2015, I think I ran out of synonyms, and I just said, we want to go out there and we want to love each other. You know, and it wasn't a phrase that we started with, but it, when I said it, it was like, that makes perfect sense. Like, all these other adjectives that we've used are all sort of encapsulated in that phrase, love each other. And obviously, play hard, you know, it goes without much explanation there. And then we just took pride in who we were, doing what we do, knowing that it's a little bit different than the way other people go about their business. So in that instance, it was just very organic. I had a sense of who we wanted to be, and I kept grasping at different words to describe that until we really landed on something that everybody was on board with, and then defined us from that day forward for the rest of the year and the years that followed.
Well, Nate, I love that example because I think it takes some of the pressure off some of our coaches that are listening. I know many coaches in the mentorship program that we're working with, you know, they're still going through this process of trying to figure out the language that best, you know, communicates the type of culture and the team identity that they are trying to create, you know, that aspirational identity. I think we often have an idea of what it looks like, but we're trying to create that common language, which many of our coaches in the next few episodes will be sharing with us. But, you know, that's a process. And some of the things that we do with coaches, like a Mark Cassio, who was on the podcast recently, I mean, I was spending multiple seasons, 3 seasons to be exact, of continuously sitting down every season and identifying, you know, what's important to us. Who do we want to be? You know, who are we? Who have we been in the past? Reflecting on not just the standards of the program, but reflecting on the values, reflecting on the principles, and then trying to refine that language that best communicates it. And as Mark shared on the podcast, you know, eventually they landed, you know, most recently on just meaningful and memorable, and that then kind of came their cultural identity of the experience that they were trying to create each season, a meaningful and memorable experience for every player. And that really shaped their team's identity there.
Now, JP, we teased in the opener that this is the first part of a 3-episode series here that was going to feature some additional coaches sharing their insights on how they've built intentionally their program identity. And one of the first questions that we asked, and we're going to hear from first Boomer Roberts, who is the head men's basketball coach at Purdue Northwest and has been a previous guest on the podcast. Where do you start? What's the first step? And one of the things that Boomer is going to talk about here is you have to know yourself.
I think you have to know yourself more before anything, right? Like, you can't be something because you see someone else and you're like, wow, that's really cool. And try to be that if your heartbeat isn't about that yourself. And so you got to know who you are and why you coach, your why, your purpose. And if you don't know that, then I would ask the people that are closest to you, you know, like, what do you think I'm about? And then you got to stay true to it, right? Like, once you find out your purpose and your why and what you want to be about every single day, you got to stay true to it. You are what you emphasize every single day in your personal life, in your professional life, on the court, off the court. So knowing yourself and staying true to it and developing an identity based off that, I think is the number one priority.
We also posed the same question to Will Ray, another former guest on the podcast. Will is an athletic director and the head boys basketball coach at Northridge Prep in Chicago. Will's got about 45 years of experience in building teams and building cultures. And here's what he said about where to start.
Excellent question, because I think that's where it all begins in the coach's mind, right? And what is his vision for the type of program that he wants to run or she wants to run? And what does that look like? And what I recommend to coaches, I think one of the most valuable things that I do even to this day is spend time in solitude just about every day. I carve out a period of, you know, sometimes a half hour, sometimes 15 minutes, sometimes longer, to just be alone with a notebook and just take that time to think. And I really believe that this is lacking in our culture today in many respects. And that's what I did before I came to Northridge. I sat down in solitude and just thought about what kind of a program do I envision? What do I want to see, you know, next year, 5 years from now, down the road if I'm here long enough? And I would recommend that every coach do that. That just sit down in solitude and start writing down your vision. What do you see? You know, what's going on in your mind's eye? You know, when you look at your team performing on the floor, what do you expect to see? What kind of offense and defense? Surely, but more importantly, what about the interactions between players? What about the interactions between the players on the floor and the players on the bench? What about the interactions with the parents after the game? And so on. And just sit down and start just jotting down ideas as they come to your mind. And then craft your vision from that. Eventually, you're going to have to distill that right into a couple of bite-sized types of thoughts. But I think it starts there. I think you have to know yourself. You have to know what you value and what you think is important. Because I don't think that another coach can maybe do our program the way we do it, because this program is a function of what I see or what I saw 17 years ago and what I continue to see and what our players have contributed. So to just mirror what someone else is doing isn't going to be authentic, and I don't think it's going to work. So that's what I would recommend to a young coach starting out, or even a veteran coach, to sit down in solitude, get a notebook out, and just start jotting your thoughts down for, you know, several weeks, and then distill that into some smaller ideas or concepts that you can implement with your program, and then always use it as your point of reference. You know, that's your, in a sense, your mission statement, and have that always be what you fall back on when you have to make important decisions or you have to decide a course of action. It always reverts back to that original vision. So that would be my recommendation.
So what I loved about both Boomer and Will Ray's answer is the encouragement for us all as coaches to be authentic, to know ourselves, to first know ourselves, and then from knowing ourselves, we then can create, you know, a team identity. Way too often, we as coaches, we see another coach. We read about this other program, whether it be, you know, someone in the business world. You read a book like The Culture Code, and you're reading about Google and all these companies, or you're reading or learning or watching videos about the San Antonio Spurs or the New England Patriots, and we try to replicate, you know, the Patriot way or how the Spurs do things or, you know, how they do things in that, you know, that culture, instead of starting from a place of knowing ourselves and creating an identity that is true to who we are as a coach. And Boomer and Will give some great encouragement for that. And also, I love Will's bit. That's not just a momentary, you know, this single moment of figuring it out. It's a daily process of solitude and reflection, coming back to it, you know, and checking in on how that is going.
Next week on the podcast, we're going to be joined by Boomer and Will, as well as TJ Rosine from Point Guard College and Mike Avery, former head men's soccer coach at Valparaiso. And they're going to share with us a little bit of a description of the type of identity that they've built into their programs over the years, as well as how they've incorporated player input into the evolution of that identity as time has gone on. And in part three, we're going to bring all four guests back to talk about how having that sense of identity helps inform their decision-making and the standards within their teams.
Thanks for listening in to the Coaching Culture Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about how we support coaches, head on over to thriveonchallenge.com. Loads of free resources there, as well as some online courses and details about our mentorship program and retreats.